Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the global PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and voice on the PDS campus, world language teacher Jay Barron.
Well, hello, Charger Nation, Charger family. This is Jay Barron, and welcome back to From the Horse's Mouth in the studio, and excited to be back today with Tom Seddon. Tom is a PD dad of two PD grads and also a former member of our Board of Trustees. Tom, hello, how are you?
Hi, Jay. Great to be here today.
Well, thank you for making the time. We really appreciate it. Your children, James, class of 17, Katie, class of 2020. Might I ask what they're up to these days?
James is graduated and working in D.C. for the Brookings Institution, and Katie is currently a sophomore at the University of Southern California.
Fantastic. It's a bit of a flight, though, eh?
It is, although the weather is not too bad when you get there, so it makes it worth it.
Perhaps worth it, right. So we're here to talk today a little bit about the new strategic goals that the trustees of the school have produced for us as a community. But I'd like to start with some vocab, if I could. Tom, could you please tell me what a trustee is?
Sure, yeah. The trustees are the group that are responsible for overseeing the school's operation insofar as the long-term operation of the school happens. So the trustees do not involve themselves in the day-to-day operation of school. That's obviously the responsibility of the administration, but somebody has to kind of govern the administration, and ultimately the trustees' job is to do that.
And you yourself have just come off serving as a trustee.
I have, yeah.
How long do trustees serve?
You can serve up to two consecutive three-year terms before you have to have a break.
Very good. Well, I suppose then congratulations are in order, because in the realm of long-term planning, this is it. Your committee, the Board of Trustees Strategic Framework Committee, has identified six goals for the school for the next 10 years. But I'd like to admit to sometimes feeling a bit of, can we call it goal fatigue? As a member of the Providence Day faculty, here we go. We have a mission statement. We have core values, a PD passport. We have the lower school charger code, the seven habits of highly effective people, the digital citizenship. Please tell us, where do these six goals fit into that constellation of things that we strive to do at PD?
Perfect, yeah. And I'll be happy to kind of talk a bit more as well about what's actually within the kind of goals and the framework behind them. But to kind of answer your first question, you can think about the different questions you have to ask yourself about the institution. And the first is, you know, what is our just reason for being? And that is what I would say the kind of mission the school is all about. You know, serving students and inspiring them is the mission of the school. So that's the sort of first question. But second question is, you know, how do we define success, you know, in that mission? And that starts then to gang say, that immediately begs the question, well, how do you even think about what success should be for the people you're serving and for the mission? So the objective of the strategic framework is really to talk mostly about what we think success looks like and how we think we're going to get there. And I'll talk a bit more about all the various components of that. And then to kind of round that out, though, as you're going on that journey to try and, you know, achieve your mission, there are also a lot of questions about, you know, what do we think we hold dear? You know, what are our key principles? And that's, I think, where you see a lot of things like the school's values and the code of conduct come out. There's a lot of different ways you could try and achieve success. You can try and take shortcuts, or you can try and do it the right way, what we would call the right way. And so that, I think, is where the values come in. And then finally, when you think about things like the PD passport, the way I think about that particularly is, what is it that we're fundamentally giving to the people we serve? Because fundamentally, the school only exists to serve its students. That's the whole purpose of the school, is to serve its students. The PD passport is really summarizing what it is we think we are delivering to the people we're serving.
So is it fair to suggest then that you're sort of taking the 30,000-foot view of a lot of other important work and trying to make sure that it's all heading in a particular direction and that it's supported?
Yeah, and I think direction is actually a kind of a good analogy. During the development of this, and this is something that's been kind of worked on for quite a few years across a number of different people in the board. But when you think about the kind of the direction, one of the analogies that people have used is of a map. You know, so, and you kind of need if you're trying to get somewhere, you need a map, whether it's a physical map, like I used to learn to use, or an electronic.
Those,
yeah, exactly. You might remember those things. Sure. They fold it out, and it's all interesting. Or a electronic map, right? But when you've got a map, it doesn't tell you where to go. But if you want to go somewhere, you need a map. So the reason we sort of think about this as a strategic framework is it's a combination of us trying to say, well, this is what where we think we're trying to go. We think we've got a map of what we want to do. But as you start on that journey, you just don't know what you're going to come up to. You know, I think I'm looking across this valley, and I think I want to go to that mountain there on the left. But as I get halfway across the valley, well, there's a river here I didn't realize was here. So my original plan was just go straight across here. But I'm going to have to think about what I'm going to do now. Do I still want to go up to that mountain on the left? Do I want to actually try and change where I'm getting to? And so, you know, certainly the way I and I think the board, as we developed this, have kind of thought about it is, this is not intended to be a one-time only, you know, we absolutely know everything the school should do for the next 10 years. It's, you know, this year we do this, and next year we do this, right, and that year they do that. But more, here are the general areas that we're trying to go to, sort of using the direction and the map analogy. Here is where we think we're trying to get to. We think it's those mountains over there, but we're going to learn a lot as we go along. And as we go along, these are the things we're going to be paying attention to, and it may cause us to change exactly how we get there even. But
especially
we still want to get there.
Happen to run into a river called COVID along the way, perhaps.
It's a great example. So we actually had done, you know, we started work on this probably in about 2016. And my first, one of the first things that really struck me when I started getting involved with this on the board was my career has been almost all exclusively in business. And in business situations, we often used to pat ourselves on the back for thinking long term. And that in reality was like, you know, 2 or 3 years ahead. But, you know, I came to realize quite quickly getting involved with Providence Day that in education, you really need to think truly long term. You know, I remember somebody pointing out in one of the early board meetings, and we were just talking about this just for this year, you know, that this year, the class of 2034 has just come in.
Oh, my.
To DK.
Right.
Which is like science fiction times. It's crazy, isn't it?
Can't count that high. That's right.
I know. It's like what? So when we start saying, oh, you know, what's the school going to look like in 10 or 15 years? It's not some abstract, you know, navel-gazing activity. It is, no, there's a whole lower school of kids there who you have to actually plan for. Right? What are they going to need? Because they're already in the school. This is not some mythical thing. The people who are going to benefit from this are already in the school.
There's Buck Rogers. He's in TK.
That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Certainly. Well, listen, Tom, let's get into this list, if we could. And what I'd like to ask you to do, if you don't mind, is would you read the list to us one item at a time? And then I just kind of want to drill down a little bit on each one. Can we do that?
So the first area, and I kind of talk about these areas in it's somewhat in priority order. It's not, you could argue, like strict nuances, but they're kind of laid out somewhat deliberately. The first thing, you know, really hits education, which is we want to, in the area of leading the education field, we want Providence Day to lead the way in educational excellence. And our aspiration is to be one of the best schools in the world. And that's really kind of the first area.
Is that all?
Yeah, right. Nothing but too ambitious, thought we'd keep it.
But we are talking about the next 10 years, and so it's terrific to aim high. Of course, we want to define what we think that means. And so I'm curious to know, just in your mind, you know, as a dad of 2 PD grads, in what ways maybe the school already is there? In what ways the school needs to do some work? How do you see us vis-a-vis that goal?
Yeah, and I'll kind of, as I think about this, the first thing I'd call out against this goal is we thought it was important to raise our frame of reference because PD, we benefit a lot today from the decisions people made 20 years ago. We made benefit from the decision they made 40 years ago. And back to this long-term theme, you know, we are the beneficiaries today. We're standing in a building here recording this in the library that I think said 2001 on the door when it came in. So literally like 20 years ago.
There you go.
So, as we think forward and we think about where Providence Day has come in its journey, you know, we really are now surprisingly one of the largest and most admired independent schools in the United States. Mm. It's kind of hard to to realize that. When you talk to people outside of school, which we have done pretty extensively, you suddenly go like, oh, wow, this isn't just, you know, some kind of smoke getting blown.
A known entity.
Yeah, a very known entity. And the scale of the school that has been developed here has given the school the ability to be good and aspire to be great in many different areas. We are not a school that is purely specialized in one thing. And so as we thought about like the goal of leading the education field and being one of the best schools in the world, one of the things that kind of I think we really settled on, because we've had a lot of debate about, you know, is it important within this to pick specific specialties that we think the school should be particularly good
at? Right. Are you a sports school? Are you an art school?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the great strengths of PD is that it has developed what I would call like multi-specialties, which is a bit of a deliberate, like, you know, oxymoron type of statement. But I think the reason why that is important is because we feel like this is a school where we are trying to serve many different students, and every student's an individual. Mm. And students have different combinations of talents and interests. We want Providence Day to be a school where many different students can kind of really get a great education, regardless of what kind of unusual and interesting combination of those skills that they have. So that idea that every student can find their own thing inside the school is something that we think is important to keep building on.
I did want to highlight one idea underneath this section, which is this language that it says deliberately manage enrollment growth as well.
Yeah.
Can you speak to this idea of the scale? You just mentioned scale.
Yeah.
How are we doing in that area?
Yeah, the school has been growing at a very deliberately measured pace at about 2% a year for the last 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. And we feel like that has been one of the things that has allowed us to continue to expand and strengthen the many different specialties that Providence Day is actually great in. The very strong arts program, the very strong sports program, very strong academics, very strong technology. Mm. So that idea of the scale of the school has allowed us to have that type of facility and...
Yeah.
People who are passionate about many different things. You know, there are students have many different passions. The faculty have many different passions and interests. And people can find their thing but still be part of a very tight community.
So to aspire to be one of the best schools in the world, how about the second item on our list?
So the second item on the list, the second area, is equity, inclusion, and belonging. Mm. And under this one, our aspiration is that we want to create a climate of inclusion so that all the members of the community truly belong and are connected to each other and the world. And I think the word I would really call out there is this idea of belonging, which is something that we talked long and hard about, actually. Again, over the past few years, this is not something that just came out in the last year or so. But it's this sense that the aspiration of the school is that everybody feels like they belong. There's a big difference between belonging and being accepted. Mm. And our aspiration is that everybody feels they truly belong. And when you talk about belonging, again, that's not something that is defined by me or us or the school. I can't tell you whether you feel you belong. Only you can tell me whether you feel you belong. And we haven't achieved it until you tell me you feel you belong.
Yes, and I know that's another comment that I had read where you had said how important that is. That this is something that the person feels, not something that is somehow granted to that person or given to that person. You have a sense that you want to be here and that you belong here.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
It is, very much so. And so that's our aspiration. I think we feel like... This is an area the school has historically had a strength in, but we also felt like we could raise our aspirations in this, especially based on some of the things that alumni have kind of talked about in the last year or so. And it's like, you know, we want to take that on board. And part of, you know, I think PD's strength is the ability to listen and to change and to evolve. So I think this sense of, you know, raising our aspiration to really get to a point where everybody just says, I feel like I belong here, is what we're trying to get to.
I'm sure these were very uplifting conversations. There's a lot of optimism in this. And I'm kind of sorry I missed it, to tell you the truth.
No, but. But it's a good point, though, actually, because just backing off for a second, one of the things that we did do as part of developing all of this was engage a pretty, get quite a lot of, a wide range of input from students, faculty, alumni, people outside the school, and we combined that as well with just kind of gathering a lot of base facts and information.
I'm not sure you quite got around to my neighbors over in Stonehaven, though, who sometimes comment to me about the traffic around Providence Day in the morning, but maybe that's for the next 10 years. We'll see how that goes, flying cars and whatnot. Let's continue, shall we, down to number three.
The third area is health and well-being, and our aspiration here is that we'll support the health and well-being of the PD community, the students, the families, the faculty, and the staff. And this one, I think, I find particularly interesting because this is something that, as we did that exercise of listening carefully to what different constituencies were telling us, we were doing this all pre-COVID, mm-hmm. so just pre right. kind of 2019. But one of the themes that came out very strongly from students and families particularly was this sense of what can we do to increase the emphasis on the well-being of students and everybody in the community.
And more than just physical well-being.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, more than just physical well-being, mental well-being. And the reason I think that's really interesting was it wasn't something that I personally had top of mind, but it was really strongly coming from a very wide set of people. And I think when you look at what's actually happened in the world in the last year or so,
right.
particularly kind of you see, you know, I think a lot of elite athletes, you know, have kind of very much taken the stand that they're going to talk about this as something that is important to them. And, you know, that's not the only thing in the world, obviously, that makes it important, but it's just an interesting indicator of change in society. I think this is an area, the focus on this area is something that the community of the school had already identified as really important. And I would kind of phrase it as an idea of it's important to help our students build enduring happiness rather than purely success as defined by a win or an achievement or a goal.
And as a PD dad, I have to just jump in and say that I especially appreciate that item being in the goals, because I think that our students are feeling an incredible amount of stress and a lot of anxiety. And here we are at a college prep school. Well, that means you graduate in this way, and then you go to a college where your life is like that and so on. And so many of those assumptions have kind of been turned on their head in the era of COVID. And so to be able to step back and say, are we paying attention to health and well-being in a broader sense, I think is critical. So,
I'm glad you feel that way, because I think it's something that at the time when we were putting it together, we said this is important clearly to everybody, and we need to really understand how we can improve it. And I just think that has been emphasized even more to me in the last sort of 12 months.
Yeah. Tom, we need to jump to what is clearly the most important of the six goals, which is number four, if you wouldn't mind sharing that.
Yeah, goal four, the area is our faculty and staff. And again, I mean, it's funny to say it's the most important one, Jay, of course, but it is, in the sense that if we aspire to be a world-class school, well, the only thing that creates the experience for the students every day is the faculty that we have. And so if you think that you want to have a world-class school, you have to have world-class faculty. And again, I think this is something that I certainly, as a parent point of view, so I'll speak for a parent point of view, one of the things that attracted us to the school was the incredible strength of the faculty. And one of the things that we always reflect back on now our children are completed with their time in the school is just what a great experience they did have with the faculty here and just how lucky they were. And again, this is something that I think you talk to parents, alumni, current students, and I mean, they'll just echo that for you every day.
Well, that's very kind. And, you know, if you'd like to say more, I'm all ears, but I would take that and immediately turn it, because I think that what we get to do every day is also work in a terrific place with a lot of terrific students. And so if we're capable of leveraging the talents of these kids, then we're having a great experience as well. So that speaks to community, I would suggest. How about number five?
Number five is the area of the campus environment. And again, so back to the faculty create the experience, the environment also creates the experience. Mm-hmm. So again, if our aspiration is to have world-class education for students, we have to have world-class faculty, we have to have world-class campus environment for them as well, and an environment that can create that for them. One of the things I think is interesting though, is that we have defined the campus environment as both the built environment and the technology infrastructure. That actually is a kind of a twist that we've called out more deliberately as a result of the COVID experience, for sure. Although it was already something I think that the school has been highly interested in and has built out quite a lot of strength in. But I think the COVID experience, if anything, just emphasized that the years of smart decisions and investment in technology had really been worthwhile, because our ability to keep delivering an education to students and pivot and change and be flexible was really helped by that. And on the built side, that word flexibility, I think, is the other word I would call out. Because back to this idea of long-term planning, look, we just don't know what the TKers are going to need 15 years from now,
right,
or 13 years from now when they're seniors. We don't really know. We know they're going to be needing something to have their education, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know what it is. So as we think about smart decisions on the built environment, those are ones where we're trying to say, how do we build in that flexibility? You know, we're standing in the school's library. Well, when the visionary people who created the library did it 20 years ago, they imagined it as a place full of books that you would come and get your books out, right?
Right.
But even then, they actually did a lovely job, I think, of creating, even within that library, a lot of flexibility. So here we are standing in a broadcast studio, right? They didn't plan a broadcast studio when they created the library. But we've had the flexibility and the ability to change it. And I think as we look towards new evolutions of the physical environment in the campus, that sense of, you know, build things that you need now, but also build, when you do that, build in the flexibility, because all you know is things are going to change and you don't know what you need, what you're going to need, is very strongly in our minds.
Well, we all learned a lot over the last couple of years, that's for sure. But a big shout out to Matt Scully and his tech team and all the support that we had all the way through.
Can you imagine?
Boy. You know, I really want to ask you more about the campus. I don't know if you can tell us anything else.
I cannot today, because there is one of the things that will also, it's also under development by the current, as you said, I kind of rolled off the board
right
at the end of last school year. So I'm kind of talking, but I think there's been a lot of interesting focus on developing, you know, and ultimately sharing kind of a campus master plan.
Sure.
But that will be for somebody else to talk about another day.
We have one more item on the goals list. Number six.
The sixth area is resources for the future. And our aspiration is to really build the resources we need to sustain the school for the long haul. And that it's that idea of sustaining the school. I think, you know, the school is incredibly successful today, serves its students today tremendously well. But one of the things you opened the whole kind of podcast by asking me what the Board of Trustees does, right? And actually, you could sort of argue that one of the Board of Trustees' most important functions is really to steward the school for the very long term, and to make sure that, if you think of the mission of the school is to serve its students, well, you could argue the current, today's administration of faculty is obviously really focused on serving today's, the people who are in the school today, the students of today. The trustees need to make sure that the students of tomorrow can be served as well, and the students 30 years from now can be served, because that's our, you know, the way Providence Day makes the world a better place is by serving our students and inspiring them. And we need to be able to make sure we can achieve that mission 30 years from now and 50 years from now, again, which sounds like a crazy amount of time, but the school just celebrates its 50th anniversary. And it's so we really do have to do that. And in order to do that, we need to make sure we have the resources in place that are going to let us do that, you know, for the long haul, so that we can ultimately impact as many people's lives as possible.
These six items in shortened form then are leading the education field, equity, inclusion, belonging, health and well-being, faculty and staff, campus environment, and resources for the future. Any other comments or thoughts about any of those items?
I would say, again, back to one of your questions about why it all, how it all fits together with the various pieces of the school's
mission
and values and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, think. I would say think about these as the things that guide the decisions we make, sort of year to year, of where we how we try and make some progress in our journey and what we where we think the journey is taking us, with the mission always staying the same of inspiring our students and serving them, and our values again, you know, generally staying the same, but they're really defining how we get there and how we think we behave on the way, how we treat each other, what we think is important.
And any questions or comments should be directed to Dr. Kalashaw.
I think so.
Sounds good. Tom, I appreciate your time, and I look forward to looking at this in the magazine in December. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Appreciate you having me today. Thanks.
Not at all.
Thank you for joining us today to hear it all straight from the horse's mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community in future episodes. You can find episodes and more information at providenceday.org/podcasts.